Well, we've made it to minute five. Of course, you know when I say minute five that each of these selections is a little longer than a minute. Helps to build character and stamina, right? Let's try this at 200. If at the end of the case, based upon the evidence before the court, you are sure that the accused committed the offenses, you would find the accused guilty because this means that you are satisfied of his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. If at the end of the case, based upon all the evidence or lack of evidence before the court, you are not sure that the accused committed the offenses, you must find him not guilty of the charges before you. To make your decision, you should consider carefully and with an open mind all the evidence presented during the trial. It will be up to you to decide how much or how little of the testimony of any witness you will believe or rely on. You may believe some, none, or all of the evidence given by a witness. Witnesses see and hear things differently. Conflicts and discrepancies do not necessarily mean that testimony should be discredited. Discrepancies in the reasonable doubt test applies only to proof of the guilt of the accused and proof of the essential elements of the offense. I will tell you later about the elements of the offense when I deal with the law applicable to the charge in this case. From the facts which you find have been proven, you may find certain other facts logically can be inferred. We sometimes refer to this as proof based on circumstantial evidence. As the jury, you are entitled to make inferences of fact which logically arise from facts you find to have been proved. Having decided what facts have been proven and what inferences are to be made, you will take all of these into account in the context of the whole of the evidence in deciding whether you are satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt of the guilt of the accused.